Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. That's Kyle Porter. That's Robbie Callen, Uproxx Sports. I'm Chip Patterson. We're all over the place right now. Robbie and I in the home studios, and Kyle evicted from the safe room with which we spoke to him earlier.
It's not a good situation right now.
It's currently in a hallway at Augusta National. You're not violating any cell phone rules at this moment, right?
I have no idea. My cell phone's in the car, and I'm pretty sure I'm violating a couple of rules. I don't know if they're the cell phone rules, but give the people what they want. We're getting a podcast in.
All right, so this is the time where we've got to look at our value plays. We've got to look at our picks, picks to win, our top 10 locks, our sleepers. So listen, I'll throw it to Robbie here first. As you're going in, and we're sitting here on Wednesday, noon Eastern time.
You can just
throw
everything to Robbie, I think.
What's your general feeling like among the players at the top? Are there any that you are for sure like kind of writing off? Like when I have to go through whether it's my Masters pool play, whether it is my picks to win, my odds, my long shots, or even, and we're going to get to some of these here a little bit later, some of the head-to-head selections. Who are the players that you've identified that you're like, I'm out on that guy, and I know that I'll be trying to line up against him as often as possible?
I don't have great feeling on Brooks right now with everything that's come out about how the weight loss thing and how it's just not been right. And I think the conversation around Brooks right now just isn't real great. And I don't know where his headspace is and kind of how he's feeling. So I don't have a good feeling on Brooks this week, which is weird coming into a major because, you know, it's usually – I don't care what has been happening in his regular PGA Tour starts. Like when Brooks comes to a major, I'm usually in on him. But I think this week I'm kind of out. after the players, I was somewhat vindicated on Sunday by Jon Rahm, but I'm not going to say I'm out on Jon Rahm. The dude's just dialed right now and playing great. And I would love to see him put 4 rounds together. Because I do think he is one of the guys that should be one of the future stars. I'm buying in on Jordan Spieth. I will not be investing anything financially in Tiger Woods because I don't need to. The emotional investment's
yes,
enough.
Right.
You know, like I feel like that. I don't feel great about JT right now, and so I think if you're talking about the two guys in that top tier. Of the odds sheet, I think it would be Brooks and JT that I'm just not feeling as much as the other guys. I will not be betting anything against Rory the way he's playing right now. I would not fade Rory. I won't bet on him because I refuse to bet on an 8-1 favorite in a golf tournament like this that has such a strong field and has value plays elsewhere because I just can't bring myself to do it. But I would. It would be far from surprising if he won and kind of boat raced some folks this week.
So Phil's last win was 2013. Is that correct? Does that sound right?
2010.
Okay, so I think he was maybe 10-1 then, and for the most part since then, our winners have not been like you mentioned 8-1. 8-1 just doesn't win the Masters. Is that all right, Kyle? Do you think that speaks more to the like? the depth of field, or, you know, the front runner status? Like, is there any golf reason why we haven't seen those players at the top? And certainly, you know, any theory that you want to build that could be built on this could be crushed if Rory just goes out there and drops 65, 66 and runs away with this thing. But like, why do you think it is that when we're picking, sometimes you got to go for that second tier to find your winner?
If he goes 65, 66, you guys may never see me again. I might just
ascend to the heavens.
I might just heave myself into one of the ponds here, and that's it. That's all she wrote. I think it's a percentages thing. Like, you've got, you always seem to have like that one guy coming in that's like 8-1. When Tiger was playing well, it was 6-1 or 5-1. And it's just a percentages thing. It's like 90% of the time that dude is not going to win. And you're going to get a guy that's 14, or Patrick Reed last year was probably, he was probably like 45 or 50 or something like that. And so to me, it is the reality that, like, yes, you have the one or two favorites that are better than 10-1, but the percentages
of golf history say that you know, those guys are not going to win the golf tournament.
Would you mention, like, you with Justin Thomas, he's like the ultimate test to the theory, because Justin Thomas has been, he's a great iron player, and at the Masters we do love our great iron players, you know, but his finishes at the Masters don't always line up with some of the statistical dominance that we see from him, you know, elsewhere on the PGA Tour on his yearly circuit. Like, I feel like he's flying a little bit below the radar. Is like, what are the last minute JT feels right now at Augusta?
I'm with, is my microphone better now?
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah, you're good.
I got disconnected there. I'm sorry. I'm a mess. It's not good. I'm with Robbie. I picked JT and I feel terrible about it. But here's my thing with JT. Here's the thing that I keep going back to. His trajectory at Augusta better every single year that he's played. So he starts out 3 years ago, I think he was like T48. Then he's in the 30s. Last year he's T17. And I think his trajectory is a representation of the fact that it takes a long time to figure this place out. And not everybody is Jordan Spieth or Tiger Woods, and they win in their first time out, or finish second in their first time out, or whatever the case is. So from that sense, I like him, and I like the fact that he does it. This is the thing that I think people don't understand. Of all the top guys, he has the fewest weaknesses. So, like, he's not the best driver. He's not the best putter, but he's like top 25 in every category. If you look at his strokes gained numbers from last year and even this year, he's not putting as well this year, I don't think, but he's just top 25, top 30, top 35. And when you don't have holes, it's hard to be exposed even at a place like this.
Well, one of our favorite times of the year is upon us. That's right, the Masters, a tradition unlike any other. And CBS Sports is where you can get direct streaming access on your phone or computer to live coverage all day for each round of the tournament. The coolest part is that you can choose between four different streams, whether you want to watch the featured groups of the day, follow the field as they come through Amen Corner or holes 15 and 16, or see top golfers getting ready for their round on the practice range. We've been looking forward to this week since the last green jacket was awarded, so you really don't want to miss a second of the action. And the best part, listen, you don't have to sign up for anything. It's entirely free. No need for a paid subscription or an expensive cable package. All you need to do is download the CBS Sports app on your phone or visit cbssports.com/masters first cut today. That's all one word, Masters First Cut. cbssports.com/masters first cut. And while you're there, be sure to tune in and watch Kyle on CBS Sports HQ, where he will be hustling off to in about 20 minutes. CBS Sports HQ, of course, being our free 24-hour sports news network. He'll be reporting live from Augusta all week long. cbssports.com/masters first cut. Kyle, if there's any consolation here, I met a listener of the Cover 3 College Football Podcast, and IRL, you know, he came up and he was like, hey man, you know, Cover 3 listener, big fan, and he told me that some of his favorite shows from the past year were the ones that were done at like 4 a.m. after the college football playoff games in hotel rooms where Barton and I couldn't even see straight. So there's some, if that should suggest that the listeners might like the honesty out of you being a little bit of a mess right now. So,
well, so I'm in a hallway in the media center and there's two doors to my right, and I'm pretty terrified that Chairman Ridley is going to walk out of one of them here in about 2 minutes. And but maybe we can get him on the pod. Maybe he'll have a pick for us or something.
Chairman Ridley, who do you like that's a sleeper?
are you a big Hideki guy or no?
Chairman Ridley, can we just real quick do an oral history of Dropgate from 2013, please? Hey Robbie, have you laid out your like? We're going to talk about some value plays to win. But do you have an official pick to win?
I think I'm going to ride with. I feel like I picked him a few times in a row, and he's always close, but he's yet to win. And if you're talking about a guy that's figured out the course and just knows how to be there on Sunday, I don't know if there's anybody in better form right now who's better at being there on Sunday and not like Rory backdooring it on Sunday, but like actually being there in the final groups. I like Justin Rose.
Oh, smelled rosy. It smelled like rosy the whole way.
I love Rose. I mean, like, and I'm an unabashed Rose fan. Ever since my man gave me a bunker lesson in Columbus.
That's right.
Fixed my short game up, but even before, I mean, like he fits the mold for me. Just the purest ball striker. I love those guys that just are crisp. And you talk about ball striking around Augusta, not putting yourself in bad spots. And his short game, I think, is what keeps him around, because when he does miss, even if he finds himself in one of those tough spots, rolling off a green. A little short-sighted. He's so dialed on that short game. I just, you know, if he's got the putter rolling, and that's kind of always the thing with him, and that's when he got to number one in the world last year, was he got the putter working and he was nearly unstoppable. And if he rolls the ball well, I like Rosie of that top flight. I think he's my pick at 12-1.
So when we're looking at the odds to win, we're going to throw out Rory, we're going to throw out DJ, we're going to throw out Rosie, throw out Tiger. Is Rom where you start to see players that you think you might have some value for?
Yeah, the 16-1 group is always kind of interesting to me. I've got of that group, I've got Spieth. I was able to get him at I believe 20-1. Elsewhere, shop it around. But at Westgate right now, he's 16-1.
Before that hefty wager moved the line.
Yeah,
That 6K was definitely Robbie.
Yeah, I'm the one with the 85,000 on Tiger, 14-1.
Is there somebody has 85 on Tiger? Is that for 85? Real?
That is a real thing. That will win 1.2 million. If he wins, it was at I think Will Hill. It's the biggest liability they've ever had on one person.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I mean, 85.
It's such a fool's errand to bet on Tiger, though. I mean,
which is why I'm so emotionally invested anyway. Like, I don't need to have any financial investment there. I'll be dialed if he wins. I'll be all in anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the guy. I sort of, to answer your question, Chip, about where do you start finding value, I like the 25-1 number. Mm-hmm. Is that your Koepka? I mean, Koepka at 25-1. I know he's like on.
I'm just
you know,
so stoked
doing,
on him right now.
Doing paleo for like the some
ESPN body.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but like here's the thing, he doesn't look that different.
Right.
Like he doesn't. Like, he says he lost 25 pounds. He looks like he lost, like, 3 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. Anyway, 25-1. Jason Day, great record here. Bubba, two-time winner. And I just I think there's more value there than at like 20-1 where you've got Fleetwood, Molinari, maybe a Spieth. Like I think the 25 and maybe even the 30 with like Paul Casey, I love him at 30. Hideki's down to 30. He was at 45 a couple of weeks ago.
I've got 33. I wish I had seen 45. I've got 33 with Hideki. By the way, if Hideki and Xander end up in the final group, I'll be parachuting in on Sunday. Look for that, Kyle.
I'll just give you my spot. You can just I'll go play Forest Hills or Augusta Country Club or something.
I'll just be there draped in the Japanese flag. Emerging. Yeah. I do like Bryson.
Those
are good numbers. Yeah. I mean, I think you can start to see some value in those 16, but I agree. I think I like to bet those guys between 25 and 40. You know, like I've got Xander at 40. I love that group because they're really good guys, and they're the kind of guys that like, okay, if they put it together, they could be up there. And those are the guys that you get the most value out of when they win. So if you're just kind of consistently hanging in that group, you know, you just need one to pop every couple of years and profitable. I hit Frankie last year 33-1 at the Open. And now I'm just free rolling my futures for a couple of years. Like that's the nice thing.
You know, two that are a little bit farther down that are super fun. I mean, I don't know if people want to bet on these guys, but Snedeker at 100 and Webb at 125.
Webby. This is a blind spot for me that I just always like. I love RCB 100-1.
Yeah. Now those the 80-100s are fascinating because you got Cantlay at Cantlay at 80.
Cantlay's that's value. I was
looking at Cam Smith, who finished top five last year. He's at 80. I mean,
I was trying to figure out what I feel about that because like he shot 600 in the final round to finish at 9, and I was trying to figure out like was that just kind of an aberration or should we be like, hey, maybe this dude's seen a little something, seen the light at Augusta. you know, like, and also, you know, we love a little 80-1 on Chaz Hoffman.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's going to be there on Thursday and Friday.
You got to figure out how to like short that based on the Thursday round though.
Yeah. If you can get some first day odds, if you can get a first day matchup, just blindly take Chaz.
Charlie Hoffman, first round leader at plus 2,500.
Yeah, just load up 85 grand.
Let's go. 85
grand. Oh my goodness. Also, Kisner 60-1.
Yeah.
Feeling good about himself. He's a Georgia boy. Would love it. Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, like, and I think that's the issue with the Masters. Like, I can fall in love with so many guys on the Masters, like, list.
Well, yeah, and you start to talk yourself into this thing where it's like, okay, I know these 30 are not going to win. So then you start shrinking the field, right? And you're like, okay, you can get it down to like 35, and you're like, well, it's gonna be, you know, and then it's, you know, it gets difficult after that. But it's the one tournament where you can shrink it down quite a bit, and like you said, tuck yourself into a lot of different guys.
Yep.
Getting into some props and some round and tournament matchups right after this.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, so we got some, Robbie, we've got the tournament matchups pulled up, or do you want to do round matchups?
I have tournament matchups.
All right, let's do tournament.
I don't see round, so.
All right, where... Where do we Shins like?
Deep.
Yeah, RCB is going up against Keegan Bradley. You're gonna have to lay a little bit of juice with it, but is that gonna be a fire for you?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you'll probably be, you know, the way Keegan's been going lately, he'll probably be like 3 under on Thursday, and you'll be sweating because RCB is just gonna shoot 71, 71, 71, 71. But Keegan will eventually. Keegan will back out of there pretty quick, I think, the way he's been going. I would fire on RCB. I like the Great Dane, Lucas Bjerregaard, plus 125 against Zach Johnson. The way he's going, talk about ball striking. I was all in on him after the match play. Loved it.
I love him. I loved his game. I was talking to two writers about him last night, and they were like, "Nah, whatever." And I was like, "Did you watch him? Like, he's awesome."
That's where I'm at, and he's been like really good on the Euro Tour recently. Like, he's been balling, and like Zach Johnson probably. Like, I know Zach Johnson's won at Augusta, but like Zach Johnson in years where the scoring is not going to be plus one, should probably not be favored against anybody in the field right now. I mean, seriously, like. Come on. Like,
hey, so I'm looking at the sheet. You know what's a really fun one?
What?
What's up?
Kisner plus 130 against Patty Reed minus 150.
We know they love each other.
Yeah, for sure. give me Kisner.
Yeah.
What?
That's value.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking at the sheet, like, I think Kisner's 61. I think Reed's back down to like close to 50 or 80 or something like that.
He might be lost.
When you're having emergency range sessions at like 7 p.m., it's never really a good sign.
Can you hold off on the champions dinner while I try to fix my laid off backswing?
Can I get 85 grand on Finau minus 115 versus Phil?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I fade Phil at will at this point.
How funny is it going to be when Finau's two wins are Puerto Rico and Augusta National?
I love Finau, man.
He's great.
I would like to file a complaint with the people at Bet Online for putting Hideki and Bryson in a matchup. It's painful to me as a father
to see your two grandsons.
My two sons pitted against each other.
There's some in here that I'm like, these are like easy. Bryson versus Day. Bryson's plus 130. Fleetwood against Fowler. Fleetwood is where is that one?
You can get Fleetwood against Fleetwood's plus 130 against Fowler. Fleetwood is minus 110 against Paul Casey and Brooks Koepka. He's minus 120 versus speed. Apparently, the people are clamoring for Fleetwood matchups because he's got the most of anybody. You can get him against Frankie. Goodness gracious, Tiger's the only one with more. Let's see.
Cameron Smith plus 120 against Gary Woodland.
Yeah, I like that. What about Bryson against Koepka? How do you feel about that?
So I think this is going one of two ways. I think that with, like, if you were planning on fading Koepka based on the weight loss and him admitting that things were going wrong, the worst thing that could happen is that Koepka is going to be ticked off by Brandel Chamblee going after him.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brandel.
Yeah.
Like, no,
it's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point.
Like, he could be furious, and it could be some incredible Hulk. You won't like me when I'm angry, because he didn't, you know, didn't play in the Masters last year. And like, Kyle, haven't I been talking about this, like, the situation? Like, are we prepared if Brooks Koepka wins the Masters about, like, how to handle him? Because that would be stupid.
This is his first Masters as a major champion.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? How weird is that?
He would love to tell every Brandel and everybody else to stuff it with as he puts the green jacket on.
Yeah. He might have to order extra fabric. Oh, maybe not.
Not anymore.
Maybe not now.
Not anymore.
No, I what I was going to say about Bryson, I love Bryson this week. He's talking about, like, I sat in his presser on Monday. It was unbelievable. He's like, we're finally figuring out how the shaft of a club works. Oh, it's like, you're the one that's finally figuring this out. Golf's been around for 400 years, but you're the one that's figuring out how a shaft works.
He's dialed in. It's awesome. He's just in his bag.
Well, somebody asked him about the rain, about the weather, and he goes, "Oh, I mean, we got the numbers figured out. If there's precipitation on the club face, I mean, that's not hard." And you're just like, "Okay."
My man is dialed. He's got 2 points written down.
But he's the guy. I mean, we've all been around this guy, right? Like, in playing, like, high school or college sports, where it's like, they're not as good as they think they are, but because they think they're so good, they end up, like, performing to that level.
Right.
I loved it too. I think he's going to have a great week. I think he should be one of the, you know, I think him and JT are not really being talked about, but I think they should both be among, like, the 6 or 7 top favorites.
Mm. Mm. Anything else that you picked up from the press conferences? This will be the last time that we get you on the pod till Friday.
Yeah, Rory was talking about meditation and juggling, which was interesting.
I saw that. And then he was like, "Well, I'm not going to Nepal, but."
Yeah, he goes, "I'm not going to hang out with the monks in Nepal, but I'll juggle on the range for like 20 minutes before my round." Which, hey, look, I'm not going to argue with anything that he's doing, because he's playing arguably the best golf of his career. We're actually, I think me and him might be in a book club together now. Like, we're reading some of the same stuff. So that was encouraging.
That was encouraged.
Probably for him more so than me.
Oh my god!
I'm kidding, obviously. What else was there? Phil, I've never sat in a Phil Masters presser, so I sprinted over there whenever they announced that he was lined up. He was okay.
Not a vintage Phil performance.
No, he wasn't feeling it.
I think my favorite Phil performance was at the 2016 PGA after, like, the first round. He just held court.
Oh yeah,
it was pretty incredible. Like, he was talking about just feels and divot patterns, and it was real good stuff.
I heard the guys on the No Wine Out podcast talk about whether he would ever want to do the ceremonial first tee shot. Like, when he's done playing, and somebody was like, "No, I don't think he'll want to do it." And somebody else goes, "So you're saying that he wouldn't want everyone to congregate around, watch him hit one shot, and then just chat it up with everybody there for the next 3 hours and tell stories and hold court?" And they're like, "That's a good point. Like, I think he'll definitely do that."
Also, you know, he'll have money on it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Him and Tiger just betting on the ceremonial first tee shot. Come on. It's a layup. It'll be like the match, but thankfully but shorter.
Yeah.
Like, what the match should have been, one shot each for $9 million.
That's what it turned into.
That's what actually. It came down to when they had to have the 120-yard shot to win.
off of a green in the dark.
Oh man.
What a way to spend Thanksgiving weekend that was.
Oh, it was delightful. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
You mean live vlogging every second of it?
Yeah, my in-laws were fired up about it too.
They thought it was awesome. All right, so we got any other round matchups or any last minute expert picks or feels? Any golfers we haven't hit on? Oh, Sergio is my sleeper. I don't know where y'all are at on that, but I think Sergio might come in and dust everybody up.
I love it. I love that.
Not against that at all. I'm back in on Usti. It took one match play for me to be back in. I'm a sucker.
I'm out.
You're out. I don't blame you.
Yeah, he hasn't done it at majors recently. He's got like one top 10 in his last 12 majors. What can I do with Hovland? Like what are my things that I can do with him in terms of?
I think he's an amateur, so you can't do anything.
No, well, he's 1,000-1 to win. But is there something like on him making the cut or top 10 or something like that?
I think you could go low am, and I think at low am he is a favorite at like +110.
Whatever it is, I want it. 85 grand.
Go Pokes.
Yeah. He is by far the best am in the field. And, you know, I just think that ams of his caliber are just – they're prepared to play in tournaments like this, you know, like they feel like they should play in tournaments like this. I don't think he's going to contend to win or anything like that, but I think he's going to have a good week. I think he's going to make the cut and I don't know. I'm excited to see him play.
Victor Hovland +275 top amateur. Not even the top name listed.
Who's the top name? Rebula?
What? Not top American, top amateur. Load. Takumi Kanaya. Rebula's at +400.
Rebula's Ernie Els' nephew.
Oh. Who's Takumi Kanaya?
He won the Asia Pacific amateur. He's a good player. He's like a top, I think he's like a top 10 or top 20 amateur in the world. Maybe not that high. Maybe top 50.
And who's Davin every time I come around your city, bling bling? Davin Bling.
Devin Bling and Larry Mize, if you'll believe this, played a practice round together on Monday, which was not something that I expected to see. He finished runner-up to Hovland at the USAM last year at Pebble. He's not very good.
Can I Bjerregaard -175 to make the cut, 85 grand. That's just going to be the new unit for a lock.
Yeah, I was actually writing the I'm going to try to turn this around pretty fast, and I was writing the iTunes description in my head. Kyle Porter, Robbie Callen, and Chip Patterson discuss where they're laying their 85 grand for the Masters.
but different units of 85 grand, not 85 grand total.
No. Mm-hmm.
Spraying the board with 85 grand. That's just the standard unit now on the first cut pot is 85 grand.
Over who's under. Oh, go ahead.
Who's your pick, Chip?
To win? I've got big booty John Rahm.
Ooh.
I love it.
I hope so.
I think he's going to be awesome this week.
I do too.
I hope so.
He's either going to be awesome or he's going to be the one that like – he's going to be the one that like clears the path to the new 13 tee box with his club after he gets so angry on Friday. Yep. He just like starts tearing down trees behind the 13 tee box, and so like they don't even have to do work this summer. Like it's just ready.
I think America's ready for that ass. I mean,
yeah,
it's time. More people need to know. I was on all the radio hits that like just grind me down to paste during the year for college football and college basketball. They were asking me questions about so who was in my like way too early top 25 for next year, and I didn't have anything because I don't care. And so I just started spitting master stakes at them, and I realized that a lot of the country doesn't know John Rahm. A lot of the like regular viewing public is not tuned in to John Rahm, and I think the talent level is worth the spotlight.
It is crazy because I think you'll run into people specifically this week that are like, wait, who's Tommy Fleetwood? Who's Bryson? Who is this guy? Do I know him? It's just how it is. Like that's just part of the deal. And so it's fascinating to see like what is their first introduction to these players? Is it, you know, Bryson like trying to, you know, do the Pythagorean theorem on 13, or is it, you know, it's pretty intriguing, like how much weight a master's week carries for the way that these guys are perceived.
No doubt. All right, Kyle, we got to let you get up and go before you get in trouble. So you can go to CBS Sports HQ. Don't forget to watch CBSSports.com/Masters First Cut. It's a way to get access to all the different cameras, all the different angles, all of Kyle's content. You can follow him on Twitter at @KylePorterCBS. You can follow Robbie @RCallen. You can follow me @Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip. Pleasure.